got a road atlas. Now, this excites me. This is cool. Now, I've got GPS and Waze on my phone for traveling. This is for pleasure. I'm told it's sort of a guy thing. Because we will sit for hours just looking at all the little roads and all the little towns in all 50 states, wondering what's going on there and how we're going to get there. And we do it for no apparent reason. We just find it fun. I'll run up to my wife and I'll say, "Did you know that there are 28 different ways to get to St. Louis from here? Here's my list. Look at it." And she will roll her eyes as she normally does. But we find it interesting. I gave my dad a road atlas a few years ago because he needs one. Dad refuses to use GPS, and he has a terrible sense of direction. In fact, he's a little like Christopher Columbus, who they used to say of that he didn't know where he was going when he left. He didn't know where he was when he got there. And he didn't know where he had been when he got back. And that's the story of our family vacations with Dad driving. We had no idea where we were going to end up. But as a church, we have to know. And we need to know where we're going to be in the next 10 years. And who we're going to be in the next decade. And that's what we're going to talk about today and next Sunday. Pray with me. Father, please speak to us. Let this be your time. We've worshiped you through prayer and through singing and through giving and taking communion, but we worship you now through the study of your word. Lead our hearts. Challenge us. Convict us. In Christ's name, amen. First Sunday of a new year, first Sunday of a new decade, fresh start for so many of us. We prepare to say goodbye to the 20 teens, and in particular, 2019. It's been a trying time in many ways. Sexual abuse allegations and cover-ups, both in and outside the church. Christians in China attempting to navigate these new state-regulated or state-mandated regulations. And all it is increased persecution to our brothers and sisters there. Christians in the Middle East are fighting for their very lives just to stay alive. And thread throughout the history of the church is this theme, the one on the screen. Despite divisions, despite persecution, despite hardships, despite times of divine moving and shaking, Christ's church lives on. And that shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now consider these words right here. He said, it's not our church, it's Jesus' church. My church. He said this when the church did not exist. So he knows. He has that knowledge, that foreknowledge. He said, my church will grow. I will build my church. And he said, my church would prevail. Nothing will overcome it. Guaranteed victory. And that means we, the church, must be confident and fearless and courageous and risk takers, because when the church obeys Christ, when Christians are faithful to his word, there is no real risk. We will be victorious. The church is God's enterprise in this world. We have a responsibility to take the gospel that never changes to a world that will never be the same. God's word doesn't change. God's message of hope and grace through Jesus Christ remains the same. But how that message gets delivered, how that message is packaged and presented, how the church gathers and scatters, that is constantly changing. The message stays the same. The methods do the changing. And we're in an interesting time, a challenging time in the church world. In the U.S., in every way that we count churches, church involvement is declining. The average church member is attending less and possesses diminished loyalty since they attend several places. Some recent studies indicate that only 17% of Americans can be found in a church on Sunday worshiping regularly. An estimated 3,000 churches are going to close this year. Their doors close forever. Dying churches make excuses, but too often they decline because they're too scared, or they're too lazy, or they're too apathetic, or they're too inward focused to do anything real for Jesus Christ. And I think almost all churches, they have good intentions. I believe they love God. I believe they love His Word. And they say they even love the lost. And I don't doubt that. But for whatever reason, they do little or nothing about it. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe it's too much of a sacrifice for their people. Maybe it's too much effort. And that's why 90% of all churches gather in their holy huddles every weekend, and they feel better about themselves, and they walk out thinking that God is very proud of them because they met. But many of these churches are slowly dying, and they don't do anything about it. And I am so proud to be a part of Franklin Christian the last 2 years. For that kind of apathy and that kind of fear has never been a part of this church ever since the beginning. There are churches that take risk for the Lord, and FCC is one of those churches. Churches that take God's command to make disciples seriously. Churches willing to do whatever it takes to reach the lost with the saving message of Jesus Christ. And yes, it can be scary and it can be daunting. But again, it's not our church. It's His. And when we step out on faith, when we obediently walk through doors that He opens, God promises to bless our efforts. Whatever we do, whatever we accomplish together, whatever we do in His name, He gets the glory. Not one of us. Not anyone on staff. Not any of the leaders. He gets the glory. He said, "I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols." He gets the glory. It's His church. And because of that, we must never stop. We must never give up. We must never quit. We must never grow lazy. We must never stop caring and loving people. People in all walks of life. People with all different backgrounds. You see, people were Jesus' number one priority. And they still are. People who are sick. People who are lonely. People who are wandering and depressed and hopeless, people who have got themselves tangled up in suffocating and destructive habits and sin. And as we love people and serve people and point people to Jesus and redirect wayward people and restore broken people and disciple people towards maturity, we affirm our vision that this is why we are here. That FCC is in the disciple-making business, and we will always be in the disciple-making business. That's why we're here. Our vision, FCC exists so that all people will know and follow Jesus. We want them to be disciples. You know, before Joshua led Israel into the promised land after Moses had died, he had this encounter. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And I bet he did it quick, too. This ground was holy, not because of its location, but because of the presence of the Lord. The drawn sword was a message that Joshua was going to be victorious, that his people would be victorious, that he would not be fighting alone, that God guaranteed the victory. And we find ourselves on holy ground this first Sunday of 2020, this first Sunday of a new decade. And it's not because of our location, but because of the Lord's presence. And not just here in this particular building, but in every ministry we support, those are holy places. Every missionary we love, that they are standing on holy ground. Every home represented here who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's holy ground where you live because of the presence of the Lord. And that's who we are seeking, His presence, His wisdom, His guidance, His power. When we obey His commands, just as Joshua, when we display our reverence and our respect and our honor and our worship, He guarantees victory in everything that we do. There's going to be battles. It's not going to be an easy road. Everything we do is going to be attacked by Satan. Our enemy is determined to stop us. But he's already lost. He doesn't want us to know that. He's already lost. He lost when Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was affirmed when Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb. In 2 weeks, we're going to do a series on spiritual warfare. Because it is important as we start this new decade that you know He's out to get you. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy any happiness that you have. You need to know your enemy so you can beat him. So you can overcome those temptations. See, we want to do here at this church everything we can do for His kingdom. Some of you may remember this commercial and this slogan from the 1980s, way back. All right, how many of you remember those old commercials? There's a few of you still alive. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 18, it wasn't a big selling point that you're going to do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day long. I just wanted to ease into my day. But I love the slogan, "Be all that you can be." See, one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. When I do, I want to be all that I could be for Him. And that's what I want for FCC. I want us to be all that we can be for Him. The size of our God should determine the size of our goals. And we worship a pretty big God. And so our goals need to be pretty big. We gave a short preview in October, if you were here then, who we're going to be for the next 10 years, what's going to be our spiritual focus for the next decade. And these are so important, we put them on our walls, in here, we put them out in the foyer. There's a sign on this side, there's more on that side. Because we want everyone who walks in here, whether they are traveling through and just stopping to go to church, or whether they are looking for a church home, we want them to know from day one, this is who we are, and this is what we're doing for the Lord. Now, there's obviously many more details that we're going to be talking about. But these three statements, our mission, sum it all up. We want to know God's Word. We want to experience the Spirit's transformation. And we want to advance Jesus' mission. Now, if you weren't here in October, those messages are on the website. But here's just a little synopsis. Let me take time to review this. First, we want to know God's Word. The entire Bible is held in awe and respect here. These words are God's. And they're given to His people. They're given to us. And if there is a question on doctrine, on leadership, on conflict, on relationships, in fact, whatever the issue, this is where we go first. We go to God's Word. It is vital that we see God's Word and God as our authority. Paul warned that in the last days, people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You can't read these two verses without thinking, that's us. That's our world right now. That's what's going on in this country in the year 2020. People hear what they want to hear. They believe what they want to believe. And even when confronted with clear doctrine, they say, well, you know, that's open to interpretation. Is it really? It's just the fact that they don't want to believe in a God that will hold them accountable for their sins. A holy God that they should fear. And they say, well, does it really mean fear? Maybe it means appreciate. We have a holy God that we appreciate. They don't want to believe. They want everything open to interpretation. Now, there are certain things there are, like end times. We don't have all the details of the end times. And that can be open to interpretation. I've already told you. You only need to know three things about the book of Revelation. God's team wins. Pick a team. Don't be stupid. All right? That's the book of Revelation right there. It's not all open to interpretation. He says about Himself, I am a holy God. And there will be a day of judgment one day. And I know people say, well, I don't believe a God of love will judge my sins. Well, then you haven't read past the first two chapters of the entire Bible. Because in chapter 3 of Genesis, that's exactly what happens to Adam and Eve because of their sins. They were judged immediately. People just want to believe they can live any way they want and believe anything they want, but they can still go to heaven. In essence, they check off the heaven box by accepting Jesus as Savior with words. But they don't want to deny themselves. They don't want to pick up their cross. And they don't want to follow Jesus. They don't want to be like Jesus. They want to do whatever they want to do and still think they're going to be okay at judgment. So that's why we preach and we teach and we strive to live out God's Word. And we expect it fully and completely. We expect that when we know God's Word, it will change us. And that means we're going to experience transformation through the Holy Spirit. What good is knowing God's Word
if it doesn't transform our minds and our hearts and our actions and our vocabulary. Transformation takes time. See, we're all on the same spiritual journey, but we're all on different parts of that journey. And so those up ahead can't look back at those who are baby Christians, who are new Christians, and say how terrible you are. You're just way back there. You should be up with us. They just started the journey. We don't put them down for where they're at in their faith. Now, if they've been back there for 40 years, that's different. That's an obedience question. But we're all on this journey. Listen, Jesus doesn't need more church members. He needs disciples. Disciples who will follow him and live like him and be like him. Jesus doesn't need pew potatoes who just sit and who are raising tater tots to do just the same. You just sit. You come in and you sit and you leave. He needs disciples. Disciples who are willing to make a difference in their community, willing to make a difference in their lives. People who think like Jesus and act like Jesus. Individuals who seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God can do amazing things through people in churches who are sold out to him. And thirdly, in this decade, we will be known for advancing Jesus' mission. We don't worship a safe God. The Christian life is not for the weak-hearted. Jesus commanded, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's our command. That's given to every Christian. And it means not only all over the world through our support of missionaries, but it also means to those who live in Franklin. It means those who live down your street. It means those who live next door. It can mean those in your own home. See, it's one thing to pray for a missionary. It's another thing to be one. And to talk to a friend at the office about spiritual things. We don't worship a safe God. And in this world, safe isn't okay anymore. There is too much at stake in our community and in our world. Safe isn't where we are called to be as a church. Next Sunday, Adam Grant, our discipleship minister, and Jeremy Stevenson, our family and missions minister, will join me on stage, and we're going to unpack this and tell you exactly what it means for our church and for you as an individual. You may be part of history, three preachers, one sermon. We're just going to speak an hour, so it's going to be fun, I'm telling you. It won't go that long, but we're all three speaking because it's on our hearts to share what this means. Because right now, they're just words up on the wall. But what do they mean to you individually? See, we can't play it safe any longer in these times. We just can't play church. We've got to get serious. Our expectations for everyone. It's here. Let me give you a preview of what we're going to talk about next week. We have a list here. By 2030, this is a decade. We're looking at 10 years in the future. Every person at FCC has read the Bible through at least once, and hopefully many times. But we want you to start that. Every person has been discipled, not just sitting in a class. Discipled and helped disciple others through group Bible study. Some of you are mature. You're a core believer. You need to be teaching others. We want 500 people to see them baptized here at FCC in the next 10 years. Every person has been a part of a life group. That's a small Bible study, but it's community. And we want you to be a part of one at least for a year. every person has participated in a cross-cultural mission trip, or you're plugged into a local ministry. And some of you are saying, well, I'm not leaving the country. In 10 years, we're going to help you leave the country. Now, we'll bring you back, okay? It's not a one-way trip. But I guarantee when you see other parts of the globe that are hurting, where people are hurting physically and emotionally and economically and spiritually, it's going to change you forever. It's going to change how you view your world forever. And every person has actively served in the church for at least a year, that you find a place of service. Now, I'm going to add one more to this. I mean, we've been talking about this and talking about it, and it hit me last night. As I was praying over this message, as I was praying for you, it hit me, we need one more. And that is that every person here will invite 10 families or family units. That could be a single person. It could be just a husband and wife. Or it could be, they could be young, old. They could have 3 kids or 10 kids. But every year, you're going to meet people who have moved on your street, who are brand new, or who are new at work. And every year, you're going to invite 10 family units to this church, and you're going to, you invite them, let me sit with you. Let me introduce my church to you. Let me tell you what we're doing. Let me tell you what we believe. And that's for every one of us. Now, I know some of these things you're looking at and you're saying, well, I'll never do that. I know it's scary. But we're going to talk about these tracks next week and how you can accomplish this and how you can evaluate your own progress. We're not going to stand over you. We're not going to say, hey, have you done this yet? Have you done these things? We're not going to do that. That's you. That's between you and God. And there's no better time than today to talk about these things. As Brandon mentioned, we have a congregational meeting tonight. I'm going to affirm what the elders have been working on for several months now, and really, you could go back for all this year, and you could go back past that, elders serving, our leaders serving here who have done their due diligence for 6, 20 years looking ahead of this church. And we're going to vote to sell and to start a relocation process to rebuild. And if you haven't seen the emails, please write your email down. Drop it off at the table out front so we will have that and we will send them to you. Some of you have asked me personally how the selling of our current building and the construction of a new church, 0.4 mile up Clovercroft, how it fits into all of this, this decade of ministry. And I tried to tell you that the relocation offers new resources and new opportunities to meet our vision, to meet our mission. And I feel very good about this because all the right people have done all their due diligence and they have studied all the numbers and put everything together. And we have prayed and we have fasted. And I believe that this is an open door. We've always been on God's timetable. And I've been praying for wisdom. I've been praying for understanding. And I think one thing we've learned this year is just to trust Him more. More and more and more. Because we can't do anything without God. We want something to happen, but we want it to be His will and His timing. And so that's what we've been praying about and talking about. And I'm very excited and I'm very confident in our God. And that He has taken the lead in this and opened this door. Your staff is focused on these spiritual hills that we call them. We have prayed, we have fasted, we have trusted. And I was reminded of this verse recently. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And every time I've read that recently, the word resolutely jumps off the page at me. It means that nothing would stop Jesus. that nothing would stand in his way, that nothing would distract him from fulfilling God's will, that he set out for Jerusalem. He was going to be there. And I pray that we resolutely set out to accomplish his will. I pray that we will resolutely think and live like Jesus. I pray that we resolutely make disciples here in Franklin and all over our community and all over the world. I pray that we resolutely be all that we can be for him, that his vision would be our vision, that he himself would be our vision. And the band's going to come out here in just a minute. And I thought, what better song to close? Be thou our vision. Because that's what he is. Be thou our vision. And during this song, if this is a time for prayer for you, you can come up and there'll be individuals up here with me and we'll pray for you and with you. Or if you just come up and say, I want you to pray for the church. I want to pray for the church. Would you pray for the church for me? We'll do that. Or if you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ and where you're at right now, we'll pray for you. We'll talk to you. We'll answer your questions about Jesus, about church, about baptism. See, we're here for you. We're family. We're all in this together. I hope you'll come back tonight as family. The informational meeting, I think, is at 5:30 where people can ask questions, and then at 6 or thereafter, after the questions have been answered. We're going to affirm by ballot. And it will affect our church for the next 50 years, what we do tonight. But we're here for you right this minute. So we're going to sing together because our vision is him. Would you please stand?